o'clock in the morning for your spiritual blessings and upliftment. For community news, your interviews, special requests, and others, tune into 105.2 MHz ETA and 103.8 MHz on cable. We delight and entertain you.
Hey, we also have more stuff coming your way. We have business matters. We have social and educational matters. We have health and healing matters. We also have legal matters.
For more information, call us on 020-368-1968. We delight and entertain you. Voice of Niger on Radio Lasso every Monday from 6 to 10 a.m.
Voice of Niger is right here to promote your business. Yes, your social events, weddings, birthday parties, baby ceremonies, graduation, anniversaries, engagements. All your events can be promoted right here on Voice of Niger. Yes, you heard me right. Don't know about you because you're not promoting your business. We can bring you the awareness that you need for all those revivals, seminars, special events, conferences, church services, your Sunday services, your social events, weddings, birthday parties, baby ceremonies, graduation, anniversaries, engagements. Call us today right now at 06-846-06-550. That's 06-846-06-550. Voice of Niger, your place to advertise.
The pandemic is far from over, and each day we fight to protect ourselves and our loved ones from COVID-19 infections. Please feel responsible to secure yourself should you be exposed to the virus. Now that COVID-19 vaccines are available to us, we should take this opportunity to get vaccinated to save ourselves and our loved ones. The vaccines offer life-saving protection. COVID-19 is not over. Let's still be cautious and stay safe. If you have not yet been vaccinated, then please do so as soon as possible to protect yourself, family, and loved ones.
Trust that everything is okay with you and your family, and we thank you for allowing us to be in your device in this time. Thank you for being a partner, and we appreciate you. So today, I encourage you to Zoom yourself, relax, take a cup of coffee or your own best drink, and then make sure that you get any of your friends to join you to watch this program, because it's going to be very, very, very exciting. I have three hefty men, and these people, I don't know how even we got them, and they are activists. They are almost about to suffocate me here, so please, while you are there, be praying for me, because the topic is going to be very, very, very hot. We are talking today about the proliferation of churches in Nigeria, pros and cons. Many of us know that since 1517, when Martin Luther, started the church reformation or initiated the reformation of the Church of Jesus continued to proliferate and all the whole world. So the rapid expansion did span not only the Lutherans or the Calvinists or Presbyterians or Methodists, and lastly the Pentecostals. So it has given rise to many other variations of the church faith in different parts of the world. So in Africa, especially in Nigeria, the church growth has been quite phenomenal. And this has not been without its attendant problems. So according to the research by the Free University Amsterdam, Christianity in Nigeria claims an estimate of between 40% to 60% of the population. Protestants are about 15.84% of the total Christian population. Independent churches account for about 18.25%. Anglicans are about 10.21%. And Roman Catholic is about 13.45%. So the population of Pentecostals and charismatic denominations are unknown, but are believed to be numerous. So in this broadcast, we will be attempting to analyze the Nigerian situation in particular and spotlighting the positive and negative aspects of the church proliferation. So I don't know what your take will be in this, but if you have any contribution, please feel free to call the studio line on 020-3374-160 or join us on Facebook right now on Radio Voice of Niger. You can also WhatsApp us on 06-26-046-432. So my guest today, I have men who have very outspoken. Fortunately, they are also all Nigerians. Some of them even just came back from Nigeria about 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago. So we are here in the studio to talk about this church proliferation. So my guest today, starting from, I think I have to start with the philanthropist. Let me start with Mr. Skimmy. Say hello to our viewers. Mr. Skimmy is an activist and also a philanthropist. Say hello to our viewers, please.
How are you, everybody? I hope you're going to have an accent today with us. It's going to be a terrible and a wonderful discussion.
And I have another activist, Mr. AB of AB Consultancy. Say hello to our viewers.
Hello, everybody. And it's nice to be here in the studio to talk about this topic. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
And then I have Elder Uyi. I know all of you know Elder Uyi. Yeah. Elder Uyi, are you also an activist? I think you are, and a community leader. So tell us who you are. Are you?
Well, I'm all in one. We thank God. Viewers, we thank you all for paying attention to this program, and we hope you will be able to do justice to it.
Right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And then that is it, our viewers. So let's begin on this topic. In case you just tuned in, we are talking on proliferation of churches in Nigeria, the pros and the cons. Which are the main or dominant church groups in Nigeria that you know?
First are the Catholic.
Okay.
Denomination.
Yes, denomination.
Yes. Catholic and, okay, Roman Catholic is with it, and Presbyterians. Then before it comes to Pentecostal churches, then assemblies, apostolic church.
Okay.
Because I'm just talking about the one that is up to 100 years. And then before we start talking about redeem, deeper life, those are the ones that just came after all
these other ones.
All these other ones.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, because assemblies is Pentecostal, right?
Yes, they are Pentecostal churches, okay. Yeah.
Any other person who wants to?
The Anglican.
Anglican, yeah.
I forgot that, yes. Right. You're right, Anglican, yeah.
Anglican, yeah.
And the Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day,
right? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, all of these churches are in Nigeria?
Yeah.
What about Cherubim and Seraphim?
Jehovah's Witness is true.
Yes, Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness, yes, it's true. It's true. And we have Cherubim and Seraphim. Where do you live?
Yeah, Shirubi and Sirafi. I think those ones also not so long.
Okay.
Yeah, not so
just
long.
Just from there?
They fall under the spiritual and prophetic churches.
It's true.
Yeah, but they're not old like the Anglican churches. That is what we're talking about.
Yeah. These are spiritual churches. Yeah. So that means now we have the Orthodox churches. The Orthodox?
Yes.
That's Catholic, Anglican, and so.
Yeah.
And then we have the Pentecostals.
Yes.
And then we have the spiritualists.
And prophetic. We also have the evangelical churches.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Those are redeemed. That's where those are the categories of evangelical churches.
No. Redeem is under Pentecostal.
Redeem is Pentecostal.
No. Redeem is under Pentecostal.
Yeah, they're under Pentecostals, but Pentecostals and evangelical churches are the same. They are the same. They go together.
There was another one you made mention about. There was another one. I've forgotten that one now.
The Jehovah's Witnesses?
Jehovah's Witnesses. Cherubim and Seraphim. And which other one?
No, the way we Protestant, all right, Orthodox churches,
yes,
then Pentecostal churches, yes. I think you already categorized it there.
Yeah, that's right. What I'm trying to do.
All right, Orthodox churches are the one like Anglican, all those kind of things. Then Pentecostal churches, which also is the same thing like evangelical ministries that consist of the redeemed churches and Christ Embassy and all those things.
Spiritualists.
Yes.
The spiritual and prophetic churches.
Yes, and prophetic, yes. Wow. So, to what can we attribute the rapid proliferation of recent groups in at present in Nigeria? All of them are growing.
If we want to look at specifically at the proliferation of churches,
mm-hmm,
we would attribute it firstly to the Pentecostal congregation, to the Pentecostal churches.
Okay.
That is the church that is really increasing and proliferating and opening. Branches and groups of churches under the Pentecostal that are just increasing everywhere. In one street in Nigeria, you will find Pentecostal churches that are not of the same denomination, but they are all Pentecostal churches with Pentecostal pastors, increasing and opening branches in their churches all over the place, right, left, and center of the whole of Nigeria. Okay? And they are not under the same leadership. They are not under the same denomination. But they are all Pentecostal pastors.
Okay.
Okay? And they are increasing everywhere. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry will just get up when he's jobless. He goes to build a place. And then every Sunday, he goes there. And then he begins to gather crowd, and a congregation little by little. He becomes a church. He is a Pentecostal pastor. And he is not under any denomination. He gives the church the name he wants, the name he likes, okay? And he's a Pentecostal church. So the ones that are actually increasing, proliferating all over the place, are the so-called Pentecostal pastors.
And what about the spiritualists and the prophetic?
They are proliferating, but they belong to a particular group of denomination. Okay? For example, prophetic and spiritual churches are also proliferating, but they belong, you see, the prophetic and spiritual churches are becoming like a cult. You know, it's becoming like a cult. It's like all those people, all those so-called prophets and spiritualists who are leaders of these prophetic and spiritual churches, all of them belong to a cult, you know, from where they see as their denomination. Otherwise, these people are not really, that is why you see most of them are not preaching what the Bible says. They preach what they claim God told them.
Oh,
Okay. So that's why they don't join the Pentecostals.
No. They don't belong to any congregation. Okay. He gets up and say it was God who called him to become a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, whatever he says, he claimed that it was God who told him.
Exactly.
And then he begins to say whatever he likes. He begins to tell people terrible things, things that are not even printable. Mm-hmm. And then he tells you, and he wants the people to believe that it was God who told him.
Exactly.
Those are the prophetic and
spiritual
churches. They don't belong to any congregation. They don't belong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They just come up on their own and claim to be a prophet.
All right.
Yeah.
And then when we look into Presbyterian and the Catholic, they are not proliferating. Yes.
I think with Catholic and Presbyterian Church, if you look at it, these are churches of olden days,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that they are not proliferating at all.
Really?
You know, they are moving with a standard, and you can see. Let me use the Catholic for example. You cannot just come to a street and you see a Catholic church. They just open a Catholic church like mm-hmm. that. No. And let's say there is a Catholic church in a particular city. There is always order set in place to remove a pastor, transfer to a reverend father, transfer to a very different location. It can be to Brazil.
Mm. Yes.
I believe with the Catholic, they still have that their old method, and like the way the Protestants, this new generation churches, you go to one street like my elder said, you have like 10 different churches in one particular street. You can't see Catholic church operate like that.
It's true.
No, you can't see them operate like that. I think those ones, they still have that their old method of
organization,
and which I believe is still rightfully in place.
So if we look at all of this now, we look into Nigeria, do you think there are some positive things some of this proliferation has caused?
For me,
has brought into our country.
Okay. If I have to speak on that, I don't see anything bad about it if the Christians and Christian leaders, the pastors and the bishop, archbishops, they were actually practicing the same love they are teaching people. It will be a positive effect to the country itself. I'm working on a movie, all right, very soon to be out by God's grace. There's something I wrote there. The missionary that brought this Christianity to us, they have a policy, and that policy is what helps a lot of our fathers and mothers who are educated today to be educated. In every district where they build a church, there will be one free hospital, one free school. A lot of all our fathers, all right, that are educated today, many of them did not go to government school. Go and check it out. They went to missionary schools. I remember when I was a little kid at the age of 8 years. We were just in the back of our house, and there was this kinto in the stove. So because we were just making joke, the water poured in my private part. I was taken to the hospital. I spent 6 months in the hospital. Do you know that for the duration of that time, I did not spend a cent, a dime, all right, for the treatment, even including the food. I was taken to one hospital in Urobe. I forgot the name of the hospital. A lot of people watch me now, we know the hospital. These white people, missionaries, that were in the hospital is in Urobe. Every Nigerian that lives in the south knows the hospital I'm talking about. Now, come about this proliferation of churches. It's of negative to us now, it's not on positive to the Nigerians, to African in general. Because if in every street that we have 10 churches, we have at least something that generate or that create job for the youth, that doesn't push the youth to be frustrated and to be desperate to other things, or there's an hospital in one in street, there's 10 churches. That is the same love I'm talking about that we have deviated away from, that we are not practicing. But every time we keep on in the church, we keep on. I told someone yesterday, I said, God will never listen to the church if they are praying that the government should be good. The person was angry because I tell you the truth. Why will God listen to you when you have the most powerful, you are more powerful than the government? I said, tell Buhari to call 10,000 people in Tafawa Balawa Square. You will never see 1,000 people gathering. Even if you can get 1,000 people, you still have to bribe them before they can be there. But tell Pastor Adeboye to gather 3 million people. Exactly that time, you will get 10 million people. So who have more power? So when you look at it, we have the power to control the government. We have the power to control even the humans that live with us. But because of our greediness, selfishness, self-centered, and the love of Christ that we don't practice, things become like this. You tell the government officials, you say you are corrupt. Every government official listening to spiritual leaders. If you are a Muslim, you listen to imam. If you are a Christian, you listen to pastors. Look at it. You must belong to these two of religion. And they are very submissive to their spiritual leaders. If the reason why they are totally corrupt, because you that are supposed to correct them, you are worse. You are worse than them. What are you going to tell them to do? You tell me to take government money to build hospital? Why human being, poor people are gathering money together? You build a very magnificent hospital, magnificent schools, and people pay a lot of money. People, do you know how many people die every day because they don't have money for medical treatment? Do you know how many people are criminals today because they don't have money for education?
So we are saying that the church has not done anything. The proliferation has brought nothing good to our country.
No, nothing good.
There's nothing at all. There's nothing good you can see.
No.
So all you see is just that they've multiplied, and then nothing good
actually
has come out of it.
The negative part of it is, then the youth started looking at them, oh man, this thing's actually bringing money. I got someone who was deported from Italy. The father is not a Christian. They are not Christian in their family. In fact, the father is an herbalist. When this guy came to Nigeria and things were rough for this guy, and the father brought this guy to the shrine, listen, all these guys you people are calling man of God, they come to me. Why can't I do it for my son? I will tell you. I'm telling you something that exists as we're talking right now. This guy got a big church in Lagos. He even invited me once. I refused to go. It's not because I don't want to go. It's just because I was busy that time. Because I wanted to go to also use my music talent to speak to people the truth. But the truth is that this guy, you know, this guy is fake. Anytime we are together, he will tell us, brother, just forget all those things. My father is the best man I've ever seen in his life. Because he make him to be where he is. He never talk about Jesus when we are together. He never talk about God. And there are a lot of his friends that are the same. Why do they decide to take up this task? Because they are see the same topic we're discussing now, and they are see the benefit of it to all these people. They want to take the benefit of it also. So it's not making the youth who's supposed to listen. I remember those days when a pastor speak. I think other people should talk about this thing, because if I continue, I will spend your time.
So what do we consider to be the negative aspects of this whole thing? The church growth in Nigeria. What are the negative aspects of it?
Well, I think if I would just trip in a little bit. You know, this topic is very, very essential for those that are watching us. It's good that people will learn from this very show.
Exactly.
First of all, let us take our mindset back to early Christians. First of all, they said Christians are the followers of Christ. Mm. And those people who started those missionaries were the 11 apostles, and there come Paul also among them. Mm. You see, in the early stages of churches, this is what was going on. Mm. A.B. made reference to it when he was
8 years.
When he was 8 years old, and they took him to a hospital. Yes. He had a free treatment and all that. When you read the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, go down in that verse. Mm. That was how when the early Christians were coming together. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that everyone that had enough.
Mm, they brought together.
They brought it together.
Yes, and shared.
They shared among those that did not have at all.
Yes.
And he said, after then, they went to each other's house to visit each other, and they allowed the love of God to flow among them.
Yes.
That is the purpose of the church. Because first, we have to know the purpose of the church. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't know the purpose of the church, the proliferation of these churches is definitely going to bring us negative results.
Okay.
But if we know the purpose of the church, that the church is spreading everywhere, it's supposed to be a positive effect to Nigeria.
Yes.
But when you look at the system today in Nigeria with the churches, you see that the church is doing nothing to Nigeria, rather is damaging the image of that very country. I will explain why I said that.
Yes.
When AB was 8 years old, he went to a church of a white man, and he got free treatment, free food, free everything for 6 good months.
Exactly.
He said a white man. You know why I like that word white man? Mm-hmm. Because they were the same people who brought this Christianity to us.
God bless you.
Now, they taught us already that this is what Christianity is all about.
Okay.
In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, it has been explained there, the purpose. Now, when we go back again, I think in the book of John, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was in the book of John, when Jesus was about to leave his disciples, when he called them together, he started washing their feet.
Yes.
He was only trying to let them understand the intensity of loving one another.
Exactly.
That if I was your master and I start to wash your feet, that shows how much I love you.
Yes.
And he says, greater love than this for a man to lay down his life for all his friends.
Exactly.
That means I am proving another sector of love again.
Amen.
I want to lay down my life for every one of you.
Okay.
That means the only teaching of Jesus was love one another.
Yes.
But you know today, in this country where we are, let me use this country as an example. Amsterdam as a city now. Do you know, if you go around Amsterdam, the Dutch churches in Amsterdam is probably not up to 5 or 6.
Because Dutch churches. They have close.
I say what I mean is that the number of churches of the Dutch people in Amsterdam might not even up to 5 or 6.
You are right.
But Candela, that is where my church is.
Okay.
I probably think we have more than 100 churches in that building.
No.
It's not up to?
No, it's about I think about 12 churches.
It can't be 12 churches, AB. It can't be 12 churches.
Okay.
It can't be 12 churches.
Only in Candela or in Amsterdam?
No, I'm talking only in Candela. Because in my space of worship, there's 2 or 3 churches there that worship in that place.
Morning,
afternoon, and evening.
Yes.
The next one close to me, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
You have also in the down floor.
Yes.
You have also in the upstairs.
Yes.
In one building.
It's only 12. It's only
now, let's say AB said it's 12. I agree with you that it's 12 churches.
Yes.
Only in Candela.
Yes.
Now, if you look at Amsterdam West, Amsterdam North, Amsterdam East, Amsterdam Zuidoost, total churches could be more than 150.
Yes, it's true.
That means in the whole of Amsterdam, the Dutch churches is not even up to 10.
We have about 200 and something churches in Amsterdam.
About 200 and something churches?
Yeah, immigrant churches.
Okay, that means
Now, that
who told you that?
It's possible.
Yes,
it's possible.
Yes. None of them are in your organization. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys will not accept them.
Really?
Yeah. Now, with this prolification of Etena, it's even happening here in Europe.
No, it's all continue. Yes.
It's also happening here in Europe.
Yes.
But it would have been a very good thing if we know the fundamental principles of church.
Okay, you are talking about the love.
The love, yes. Okay. Now, so, we don't know it. That is why it is a negative thing.
Are you saying that in Nigeria we are not giving love? The churches are not giving love?
No, because AB just said it. How can you have 10 churches in the street? There is no hospital that treats people in that street.
That's a good one.
I don't know. They don't have free schools in that street to train up children. So what are we talking about? Is that love?
Yes.
The Bible says the apostles, they came together. Mm-hmm. They share all their properties. Yes. A man is a pastor. He owns a private jet that he sold for $43 million. One private jet for himself. And you don't read Acts of Apostles chapter 2 that says that everybody that had, they brought everything together to the feet of the apostle. And the apostle split it. That means now you're 43 million. You should split it among all your members.
Exactly.
I don't know if you understand. If you want to preach the Bible, then you must first start from Acts of Apostles chapter 2.
Yes.
If you don't read that verse and you want to start to say, let the church grow, the church is supposed to be a safe haven.
Yes.
For the people of God. Malachi said that let the storeroom of God, let there be plenty. Mm-hmm. That is supposed to be the purpose of the church. Mm-hmm. Let there be plenty to take care of the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christianity is a court, it's supposed to be a court. When you belong to that court, you'll be taken care of by that court.
Mm-hmm.
That is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
In the early churches, that's the way they segregate themselves. They come together and make life easy for themselves. Easy. Mm-hmm. That is how it is now. Mm-hmm. But today, that is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church right now is to flaunt on big buildings, big cars, nice food. That is the purpose for them, to enrich themselves. But the purpose of the church, it's supposed to be giving.
So is that making people to be more skeptical about the church? People of this time are becoming more skeptical, or what?
Well, you see, the my brothers have mentioned certain silent areas,
mm-hmm,
where the church, the increase of churches all over the place, particularly in Nigeria, has become a negative activity.
Exactly.
Okay? You know, bringing up a church today, to the best of our knowledge, the best of my knowledge, is no more to preach God. It's no more to preach righteousness. It's no more to preach love, unity, forgiveness, tolerance, togetherness, and all these attributes which Jesus Christ taught us right from the Bible, and all the attributes that his apostles, his disciples taught us. Churches today are opened, one in Nigeria, either the pastor has been jobless for a long time, he didn't know where he's going to work, or he hasn't got the necessary qualifications. What is the easiest business to start?
Really?
Yes. He goes to build one cubicle somewhere and claim that he's a pastor. And nobody can go and tell him you are not a pastor. Who ordained you? You don't need to be ordained by anybody. You don't need to be. You don't need to go to any Bible school. You don't need to go through any spiritual training. You don't need to go through any character scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go through any behavioral investigation.
Exactly.
You just get up and build one cubicle and say you are a pastor.
Nobody checks.
There's no organization that checks you,
mm-hmm,
to see who you are.
Yeah,
Before I left Nigeria, I knew a friend. He was my friend. We were in the same class. His name is Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
This boy was a delinquent. He was a thief. Very criminal-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, when we left school,
I went to higher to higher institution. He told me that I was wasting my time.
Wow.
What did he do? He went ahead and started a church.
Oh.
He became a pastor. And in fact, this guy is a very criminal-minded human being, very devilish. I know him, he was my friend. I'm not judging him, but no. I'm telling you
who he is. Yes.
Tell me the kind of pastor that will be. I can assure you that in Nigeria today, the Bible tells us that the church is Zion. And when you say Zion, is a place of peace, a place of love,
yes,
a place of
holiness,
of tranquility and holiness.
Yes, 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 yes.
He said, the Bible makes us to understand that there must not be any poor in Zion.
Yes.
Nobody should be poor. If I am rich and I'm a member of this church, anybody that is poor will benefit from my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I will share it. I will share it because Jesus Christ showed the example of sharing food. He changed two fishes and five loaves of bread into a multitude of feed thousands. Today, the pastors are not feeding the multitude.
What are they doing?
They are not giving example of what Jesus taught. If a member has a problem, the pastor will tell you to pray. Pray, and God will answer you. But he knows that it is not everything you pray for.
Mm-mm.
There are certain things you need solution, physical solution.
It's true, very, very
true.
You don't
pray over everything. God is not stupid.
No.
Okay? But if a pastor has a problem, if a pastor wants to change his car, the whole church will contribute to change the car of the pastor, to buy him a Jeep, to build a new house for him, to change his flat to a duplex. Every member, even the poorest member of that church, will contribute to build him a new house. But if a member has a problem, nobody will contribute. They will tell him to pray.
That's very bad.
Okay?
Yes.
Jesus Christ did not teach that.
If I have to... Oh, sorry.
Excuse me. Now...
That's very bad.
The pastors, the Nigerian pastors, 99%, I don't want to say all.
No, not all.
99% of Nigerian church leaders are very fraudulent.
Jesus.
They are so selfish. They are so immoral.
Yes.
Their morality is zero. They are very self-aggrandizing. Jesus Christ taught humility. Jesus Christ taught, you see, when we were ordained in the church as elders, we were given principles to follow. It was when I was ordained as an elder in the church, I started really learning how to be humble.
Okay.
You must exhibit that humility.
Yes.
Anywhere you are. But today, Nigerians don't become pastors because they want to exhibit a love, humility. Instead, Christian leadership has become a position that gives you the power to become self-aggrandizing, to become famous, to become very rich, for people to fear you, for people to say you are Alpha and Omega. In fact, today, Christianity, the Christian leadership in Nigeria, has come to a state where they worship pastors.
Hey.
Oyedepo, Adeboye, Chris Oyakilome, Olukoya, all these big, big, flamboyant, rich, mega billionaire pastors are now gods by themselves on earth. They are God by themselves. That is the position they have claimed. People fear them. And they belong to powerful organizations that you don't joke with these men.
Oh, really?
There are no more people you go to see, like everybody was able to see Jesus.
Oh, my God.
If you want to see him, it will take you 1 year.
Hey.
And they will be preaching in the altar. Can you imagine a situation, for God's sake, where a man of God is called himself a man of God? He will be preaching with the microphone in the altar. There will be 10, 20 mobile armed policemen.
No.
Yes, in Nigeria. Armed security men right there around the altar, around the whole altar.
Jesus.
Protecting him with AK-47. Man of God,
and he's preaching. For God's sake, please. Christianity in Nigeria has become a mess.
I can't believe
this. Has become a criminal. In fact, Christian organization in Nigeria has become a criminal group, a criminal organization.
May God help us.
Yes, they are very fraudulent. They have no mercy. They are not selfless.
Okay.
You become a pastor only to become rich, to become arrogant, to become for people to fear you, and for you to amass wealth.
It is bad.
It's very negative.
Very, very
I have no confidence in them. Everybody is evil. Every God, time they are even the blind see that we are not practicing Christianity in Nigeria. Only a few minus segments of the population of the Christian society.
It is right. Let them
Has become negative.
Very, very negative.
That's my opinion.
Thank you so much.
Let me first of all.
Wait. Somebody who just tuned in now, please. Okay. In case you're just joining us, we are talking on proliferation of churches in Nigeria, the pros and the cons. And you can see that our panelists, they are really, really dissecting it very, very, very well. So in case you have any contribution, feel free to give us a call on the studio line, or you can WhatsApp us. Thank you.
First, before I say what I want to say.
Wow. Jesus, you said so much.
I want to, first of all, thank Majesty TV for this topic.
Thank you.
I think my brother is saying everything, bringing everything out, out of frustration. And you can see a lot of anger in his voice.
Yes.
You can blame him because he just wanted to see the reason why Christianity was established.
Yes.
From the,
Yes,
now we are deviated from all those reasons. But something just came into me, and maybe it's not a part of what you guys are expecting me to say, but I want to say it out, if we can discuss about it. You see, like, for some time, we are seeing a lot of problem in Africa, not just Nigeria, when it comes to this religious belief. At the point I was calling everybody that me, I'm not a religious, I'm not a religious person actually. But I just want us to have one positive mindset of what kind of change can we bring to this? Because we need to start the agitation now. Because if we continue complaining about this, let me tell you something. 1 week we'll still be inside the studio. We will not finish it. Like my brother was talking about, the pastor bought a private jet like 40 something million. Like in my script, right, I wrote something about we make an estimate of having 3,000 school students in a year. The estimate was not even up to $10 million. I get to my point. We made an estimate of having one of the biggest hospitals, just like the way we have AMC in Amsterdam. We see that with just $10-15 million, we can have it. I get to my point. And I want to speak directly to CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria. Anyone that is hearing me now, please try to share this video, because I'm going to make a private video again, all right? Because maybe Majesty TV might not support it, but I'm going to make a private video. I want to speak to CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria. I think your organization is one of the most useless organizations I've ever seen in my life. I use the word useless, all right? I'm using an English word. Anything that is not useful, what is it called? Useless. An organization that has been existing for more than 4 decades. You cannot boast of one free hospital, one free school, and you tell me you practice the love of Christ. You are a liar. And anybody that supports you is a liar and is a demonic person. Let me tell you something. We forget about the Ten Commandments. Today, we try to confuse people about salvation, about doctrines. No. The Bible, the Ten Commandments God wrote, right, for Moses to give to us, with the children of God. Look at the last part of it.
He said the greatest of all is love. He said salvation, everything you want to talk about making God happy, it lies on love. Bro, if I love you, I will not go and sleep with your wife.
Exactly.
If I love you, I will not steal your money. Yes. If I love you, I cannot see you hungry.
Yes.
I will not give you food.
Yes.
We stop talking about love in churches. That is the problem we having. Not just that we stop talking about love, we stop practicing love. Are you getting my point? No, it's not competition. Who owns the biggest church? I'm a gospel artist, all right? The reason why you might see, but I have an organization here, B1 Entertainment. One time I organized all Christian Olympic Games. My friend was a part of that program, all right? I cooked for all the churches. Even they were making jest of me that I went to go and collect money from the government and this. I did not collect 1 cent. And let me tell you the truth, I wasn't having much. I was just having the passion of bringing Christians together. I organized all Christian Olympic Games for 7 days. Sorry, I said 7 days. Was it 2 weeks or 1 week? Okay, maybe I remember. Let me tell you something. Do you know the drink people were drinking? The Fanta was not lit Fanta. It was original Fanta. The water they were drinking was original water. The food they were eating was not those kind of food that they manage. I paid dearly for it from my pocket. I was trying to show Christian organization an example of having a Christian organization. You have a Christian organization, love is totally zero from it. You need to sit down, think about your life. Brother, you play football in that competition. Your church came and competed with other church. I know they enjoyed it. I'm speaking with a proof. You understand what I'm saying? But what are we saying here? We need to start speaking to our spiritual leaders to please, let's practice the love of Christ so that we have peace. Our children will not be criminalized again. Because if a child finish school, he get a job, not even from the government, from the churches, from the origination of this Africa. If you look at it, every good thing that be happening was not done by the government, was done by the missionaries. The road was tied by the missionary. The school was built by the missionary. The hospital was built by the missionary. Why is it now that Christians are gathering together to be praying that government should change? Government should come and tie roads. Why? Those days, they were not having money like the way they have money now. Those days, this missionary, they will come to our village. They are close. Mosquitoes sleeping with us inside the village.
Yes.
Sleeping with us we were not having this kind of houses. Yes. We're having mud houses.
Yes.
They will sleep with us. At this Christian program here, I brought gospel artists from different free countries. One of them, I paid him before he even got the visa.
Yes.
But when he was in the hotel, he told me that his wife said, if I don't complete all the money, he will not come to the podium. That was why that guy came to the stage late. I've got a lot of things to say.
Jesus.
All right? That is why I will never depend on any churches for my gift, just because I want to say the truth. Mama, you were in my program. You knew how that program was.
Yes.
You stood to the last stage of it.
Yes.
But what am I trying to say to you, Mama? To everybody, to the church, to the church leader, to the Christian Association of Nigeria. Are you guys working for the devil or you are working for God? The Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. That means when you are living here for Christ, you do his work. If you want to gain, when you die, then you gain it. You choose. You are for the devil, and you are for Christ. And when you are for Christ, do you know what you do? You practice that love. And when you practice that love, you cannot spend so much money on 3 private jets. No, you can't.
3?
Yes.
How can it be 3? One person owning 3 jets? Well, what I want to say...
Oyedepo had many of it.
Oh,
different private jets. We need to mention names because this is true. It's real.
Yeah. For me, you know,
how can only one man of God, I'm sorry to interrupt you, my brother, how can only one a church leader of such a large congregation, only you are having four private jets?
We don't have roads.
Where are you traveling?
We don't have roads now. So
right,
they only fly now.
Inside your church, you still have people who cannot pay their rent, who cannot eat,
no,
who are sick. And you build hospitals for yourself.
No. I think everybody in the church is rich because.
Okay.
Yes, I think so.
You build private hospitals not to cure your members who give tithes and offering, who give vows and sow seed. You build it as a business, as a private hospital for yourself. And your church members cannot even afford to be admitted, even when they are sick. And
Jesus.
You are telling me, in fact, Christianity in Nigeria has become, I don't know what to call it, has become devilish. Okay? Has become satanic.
You know, for me, as a pastor, let me just say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Let me come in a little bit. You see, all this whole thing is very shameful.
It's worse than shameful.
I'm sitting here, and then you guys are speaking this way. I feel very bad in my soul. I said, how can people be doing this? What really happened that the church deteriorated to this level?
Greed.
And greed. You know, what I do not like in this whole proliferation is that a GO will take somebody's wife.
Yes.
Or, you know, an overseer will suppress the younger pastor.
Yes.
Take over his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then God open another church for his wife somewhere else.
Yes.
Do you understand?
And you can't do anything.
Those things are not right.
No,
I mean, we don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You see, we don't need to do anything like that at all. And then you go to Nigeria, you see all their conferences, all their crusades, starts in the morning, and then end up in the whole night.
Yeah.
For 1 week,
no,
for 2 weeks. The people, if you look at, you see all the youngsters are there, packed there. These are the younger people who are supposed to be working. So that time you're putting your conference to 2 p.m., these people are supposed to be at work. They're supposed to be doing the 8 hours. Do you understand? And then you come and mortgage them to be only praying for the whole day. So when they finish praying, now they have prayed all over their strength. Their strengths are gone. Do you understand me? You can do that for one time in a week. Or you can do that once in a month. Maybe you hijack them to say, come and pray. But to put up a program for the whole week, and then they finish that one, you put up another one, and they're staying in the church from 10 a.m. until the whole distance. When then would they go and walk? When would the younger ones go and walk?
No, do you understand me? No, but I don't think that problem is the problem.
It is a problem because the younger ones are not working.
No. I don't think the problem is from the pastors. Let me quickly say this, my elder, before you say what you want to say. You're saying the Bible says that where the knowledge of God is, when you have God's knowledge,
mm-hmm.
that means prosperity is for you.
Hmm.
It's just to have the knowledge of God. But when you don't have the knowledge of God, you are doomed already. Now, this is what is happening in Africa. It's about stupidity.
Hmm.
Now, this Bible is a great book. The Bible is a great book. For people who has not read the Bible before, they will just tell you, Bible is the greatest book ever.
Yes.
You know why the Bible is a great book?
We know.
Because this book was brought to Africans by the missionaries. The missionaries, the white people, they read this Bible better than us. Because everything they do here is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you see the roads are tied here is because it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they tie the roads.
Yeah.
Why they pay social security in this country is because it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Exactly.
Love your neighbor.
As you love yourself.
Because the people who make the decision to pay social in this country,
mm-hmm.
their parents don't even take social. Their families don't take social.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're following the principles of the Bible,
that says
that love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the reason why Africans are in the position where they are today
is
because there's too much of illiteracy. Illiteracy is not when you don't go to school. Huh?
Mm.
No, that's not illiteracy.
Mm.
Because sometimes you see people who are well read, they follow these pastors and carry their briefcase.
Yes.
It's not wrong to carry a pastor's briefcase. No, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
It's the right thing if you want to do that for the man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when the power is being abused, then it becomes a wrong thing. Why am I saying this? How can you tell me that God is going to protect me? Who says have the anointing of God?
Uh-huh.
You take over 1 million naira every month to protect yourself. Then if I follow you, I must be a stupid person to take that word you are saying. I must understand that protection is not in that prayer you tell me to pray. Protection is in the physical. You know, there's two types of protection. There is a physical and there is a spiritual protection. Now, if the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood,
yes,
that is when Bible talks about spiritual wickedness. That is when God comes in to protect you and I, when we don't know what is going on in the spiritual realm. But if you are a pastor, you tell me that come to service 10 p.m. in the middle of the night and go home by 2 a.m. in the morning and tell me that God is going to protect me to my house. Then you have mobile, you have army, you have air force, you have everybody with AK-47 protecting you.
Wow.
Then you are telling me that I should come to a service 10 p.m. in Nigeria to 2 a.m. that when I'm going home, that the angels of the Lord will protect me. What is wrong with the angels of the Lord protecting you? Why do you have soldiers everywhere?
Yeah, that is,
these people, they know already that the protection of God is in the spiritual realm. It's not in the physical. That is why they do the physical job for themselves. But it takes an African intellectual person to understand what I'm saying. And that is why I said that the problem actually is not really with the pastors. It's with the people itself. If as I am right now, I cannot be so... I used to be stupid also with men of God.
Well, if they are jobless and if they put conferences, they will go.
My brother.
Because they are going to pray.
You know what's indoctrination?
Indoctrination, yeah.
Indoctrination is like brainwashing. It's very powerful.
No, but when you are intelligent...
It has nothing to do with your...
It takes the grace of God.
It takes the grace of God to have knowledge. Yeah. The Bible says, my knowledge. People perish
for lack of knowledge.
Yeah. You can be intelligent of everything in this world, but when you lack knowledge...
Knowledge.
My brother, you are empty. You see, what these pastors do is that they indoctrinate their members, their followers.
Yeah.
And they are stupid. That's what I'm saying.
They are not stupid.
We once were stupid like them.
You know, it's not like...